Let's talk about Pontypool first.
Yeah.
Really enjoyable.
Really good.
Actually, you know, the more I'm just sitting here thinking about it and thinking maybe that should be in my top five.
I was a little bit. I remember I wrote something very briefly about this, and I think I said it was really, really good. But the more I do think about it, it just grows on me. Mm. It does really. It's just a great little film, isn't it?
It's a really, really. After all the dodgy takes on 28 Days Later and all the Romero flicks that have been recently, it's a really sort of nice little twist on zombie films.
Well, I think, in fact, I think it's a refreshing take on horror.
Horror, yeah. Especially considering some of the things that I've seen in the horror genre that we're playing at the festival as well, that just ended up falling into really bad cliches that have been around for 30 years.
Salvage. However, people should go and see The Dead Outside, great Scottish horror film. But anyway. Pontypool, I personally think the first half, up until the events become a physical reality for them. So let's explain what the film's about. Why don't you do it, Jonathan, since you have the book in front of you? Oh, no, it doesn't want to.
I'm not on that page.
So easy, Pontypool is about, it's about a radio station, a local radio station. Anyway, so it's about this little radio station, and they're starting a morning broadcast, and the DJ is a bit of a character.
Played by Stephen McHattie.
Who is awesome. Excellent. In this role. From the moment you hear his voice, he's got you.
What's the name of his character? Mazzy.
Grant Mazzy. His wife is the producer.
The producer, yeah. I never realised
Stephen
that.
McHattie. Not the producer of the film. Sydney Barry.
Sydney
Barry is his wife. Still alive.
He was also in the last final episode of Quantum Leap. Wow. That's where I remember him from. He was a baddie in a lot of films years ago.
Oh boy.
After seeing Pontypool, I reckon he should just do like the trailers and narration for everything.
Yeah. He should. Yeah. He should be the new voiceover man.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
McHattie fans
back
club.
To the film. They start this and they're doing a few boring pieces and he's a bit bored, and then they go to the traffic reporter who's out reporting traffic.
It's Eye in the Sky,
Shiny Chopper.
which is a nice little joke you'll get when you watch the movie. And he starts reporting about a riot that's happening at the, I think it's the police station, isn't it?
It's a doctor's.
Yeah. Did I watch this film? Bloody hell. and there's a huge riot, loads of people, building collapses, the people are behaving oddly, and slowly...
But you don't see any of it.
You don't see any of it.
So
you're listening to us. It's just like it's a radio broadcast. It's a phone-in.
Yeah, it never moves outside the studio.
For most of it, yeah.
No, but yeah, 2 seconds, from the start, yeah. As you're getting these reports coming in, all that you know is what they know, basically.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so for the first half, it's all in that studio, and almost all in the sound booth as well, with people phoning in, talking about first witness reports,
Just saying where we are just now could almost be
just
a sequel.
Like, yeah, just like we're doing just now, which is a bit creepy.
Louise would be the first to go by the zombies, but we'd be safe as long as we didn't.
It's double glazing, we're cool.
And events escalate outside, but the concentration's inside. And I really like that first half where it does that. But then there's this moment where it starts to just hint at things just happening outside and starts to show you things crossing over outside, inside. I thought it lost a little bit of its power there. I really like the fact that it's all inside and it's all done by just what contact they had coming in. I really enjoyed that piece.
Like you said at the time, verging on the sort of War of the Worlds type radio play.
Yeah, it's like the Orson Welles kind of idea of reporting the live events as they're happening, as the disaster unfolds. Mm-hmm. Did have that kind of feel to it, but a very small scale.
Definitely.
But it was brilliantly done.
Mm-hmm.
And humour, lots of humour in it as well.
Yeah, the explanation for what happens, I got a little bit... I don't think it's that complicated. I think at the time you're sitting there thinking... They're trying to explain quite a lot. But they do it well because they're trying to work out at the same time as you're understanding it, but they're just that little bit ahead of you. The whole low budget, the way they use their low budget by keeping everything aside and all, just through speech, really.
Yeah, and it was beautifully shot. Like, you know, the early shots of Mazzy just talking and the camera's panning across, and it's beautiful, dark, really black, slick behind him. It looks wonderful. And that whole opening scene, actually, in the snow, just before he's driving into... Mm-hmm. Very well done.
I was reading about like an interview yesterday with the director saying they're thinking about maybe doing a sequel.
Well, awesome. Like
set outside, we see what happened at the same time.
Well,
contemporaneously, is that the word? They see what's happening.
From a different angle, yeah.
So while they're doing their radio show.
It's already listed on IMDb.
Really?
Pontypool 2.
It's Pontypool Changes is the title at the moment. Mm.
And they, and as I said, they could have Climie Fisher doing the music.
But it's a great idea.
Pontypool Changes, seeing,
I can imagine, you can just imagine the second one. Because hearing that radio, him on the radio all the way through it, the same things you heard in the first one, it'd be very clever.
Yeah.
But it's also...
You have to be very careful about how you did it, though, and not just turn it into...
That's my fear, turn it into a zombie film.
Another typical zombie film, but with the Pontypool kind of on the background.
Yeah, but you also there's another discussion there, I think, almost about the way that films are going. This is a much bigger thing, I think, but the whole thing about low budget, we've seen quite a lot of low budget films this year in the festival. And with the recession and the fact that budgets just aren't going to be there, I wouldn't think, for years to come, is this the way it's going to be from now on? Are we going to just see lots and lots more? Are producers, directors, writers going to have to just be smarter with the money that they've got and the resources? Are we going to see more Pontypools? Or?
Well, there's a way to look at it, isn't there? What you're saying is that the recession is causing the quality films to go down, so filmmakers
the money available, I think, could be affected.
I think filmmakers, a lot of them, and studios have become dumb and gone and relied on big budgets, relied on big effects, relied on that, and not concentrated on the simple things, the stories, the characters, relationships, the editing, the film.
Well, I think I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all.
No.
Yeah, but things like Terribly Happy and Pontypool just show what you can do with a decent script, really, and good and fantastic actors.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's the Transformers effect, the kind of... Everyone I've spoken to that's come out of that has just been utterly disappointed and just... There's absolutely nothing to it. There is no script. There's no characters. It's just...
The set pieces.
Set pieces of action badly linked together.
Because it's the story about Fahrenheit 451. I don't know if you heard about that, but Frank Darabont's got this script written about it, and he's been printed around
to get
the studios.
Years,
and the studios are going, nah. And he said, one Hollywood executive said to me, brilliant script, really love it, but, you know, how am I going to sell it to my target audience of 13-year-olds?
Yeah.
Well, there's a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And they may be the biggest demographic to make you get the most money back, but what about having a really successful film, a really good film, that might reach across wider demographics but hit more people because it's good?
I think they could be struggling with Pontypool for a young audience.
I think a younger audience are going to balk at
they're not going to have the attention span either for just this film, which for most of the first half is just basically set around this studio concentrating on Stephen McCarthy speaking into a microphone.
Three characters, really.
Yeah.
Hope I'm wrong. It'd be nice to think that.
It was nice somewhere.
And more importantly, stick around till after the end credits email with answers to what the hell.
What was going on there? Because a lot of people left, didn't they?
Some people left, but everyone was standing there going, wait a minute, what's this end piece all about? And there was laughter as well and confusion and kind of.
Well, they do try and keep you there a little bit because the radio reports are going on over the end.
Yeah,
end
I thought that was clever.
Which
keeps the story going as well. It's not just ancillary.
It's like
reports.
It's like Moon again. This is the end is the start of something bigger.
Yeah. The big theme I saw in the films this festival.